The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Everything this corrupt establishment is doing to me is all about preserving their power and control over the American people. They're sick.
That's the former president, actually the legitimate president, Donald Trump, speaking, I believe, in Tampa, Florida over the weekend, Saturday night. But there again, language that would come right out from America Under Attack. They're sick, as he said there at the end. And everything that they're doing, he's completely right. Everything that they're doing to attack him, it's really an effort to maintain control over the American people, to maintain control, to maintain that stranglehold that they have on government. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. You can get to the live audio stream of this show through CRN Digital Talk Radio, Channel 3 on that platform. Or if you'd like to see the beautiful set that we have, the video version of the Trumpet Daily, the live stream can be found at our website, thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com/live. It takes you right to the live stream page and also to the programs that we post after the fact. If you need to catch up on your TD viewing, we're starting our final week of the summer educational program here on the beautiful campus of Herbert W. Armstrong College. So a full slate of activities. We've got the young men, the boys, the male, they're down at the SEP campout about 2 hours from here at a campsite near Lawton, Oklahoma. And then they'll switch with the girls on Wednesday. So last night the girls were here on campus for continuous activities through the camp schedule, and that concluded with the All-Star softball game, or the marquee matchup, last evening. So a beautiful night here in Edmond, Oklahoma last night. Still quite warm. I think it's the forecast is saying that it's going to cool off and maybe get some rain showers to come through starting on Thursday. So if the young people, the teenagers, if they can endure through another couple of days of heat here in central Oklahoma, hopefully there will be a cooling off later this week. This is from America Under Attack. My father says here, these people consider Donald Trump's Republican followers extremists who must be scrutinized and investigated. And so they went after Steve Bannon, another kangaroo court style prosecution. The judge prevented him really from mounting any kind of defense. I think the trial lasted for all of a day, maybe. And again, he didn't cooperate. He annoyed someone on the January 6th committee, which in itself is illegal, but we'll get to that in a second. But all of these Trump supporters, all of them, they're going after all of them. And of course, Donald Trump is the prime target. They don't want him to run again. They don't want to ever see him in office again. And so these communists on that committee, not one of them appointed by the Republican minority, not one. All of them appointed by Nancy Pelosi, if you can believe it. The minority, in other words, the Republicans, the conservatives, have no voice. And so there's no cross-examination. There's no due process. There's nothing. It's just the communist narrative that they're interested in. If the Secret Service guys contradict what Cassidy Hutchinson says, they don't get a voice. They're not going to be invited to speak before the committee. It's just Hutchinson, because what she says, it really makes Donald Trump look bad. It's so preposterous, by the way. Right, he's steering the SUV, and then he's got another guy in a chokehold. The Secret Service say, no, that didn't happen, but that's not for prime time. That's not to be testified before the committee. And oh, by the way, says Adam Kinzinger, you know, I'm not sure we can trust these Secret Service agents unless it's what Hutchinson says she heard from the Secret Service agents. Then we'll believe it, because Hutchinson says that he went for the clavicles. Oh, yes. What a sham this is. Impeachment 3.0. And it's a committee appointed by Nancy Pelosi. That's it. No voice for the minority party in Congress. What would the founders say about that? You know, going back to the speech, by the way, Donald Trump said that, he said in Tampa, we've become a beggar nation. Now, look at Deuteronomy 28 sometime and see what's prophesied there about the head becoming the tail. This is where we are. I don't think Donald Trump realizes half the time what he's saying and how it does align in some cases with what's either in America Under Attack or in 2 Kings 14 or Amos 7. We've become a beggar nation. Joe Biden is off to Saudi Arabia to kneel before the Saudis. He kneels before the Russians. He kneels before Venezuela. What a difference 18 months makes. There are consequences, as Steve Bannon has pointed out a number of times before. There are consequences for stolen elections. This is a sickness, as Isaiah 1 says, that goes from head to toe. You consider this committee, the January 6th committee, you talk about illegal and unconstitutional. That's what this is. And yet, somehow, some way, all of these government agencies, these bureaucrats, these agencies that have been weaponized, well, they see the January 6th committee as very prestigious. Yeah, it's legit. Of course, the media views it the same way. It's not getting any traction, by the way, with the American people. But here is this show trial. And now they've got another top dog, Steve Bannon, which, as Tucker Carlson pointed out on Friday night, he was already gone from the Trump administration before January 6th ever happened. In fact, he was gone years before that. Had nothing whatever to do with it. And yet he doesn't cooperate. He annoys the January 6th committee. And here comes the Justice Department. Here comes Joe Obama's DOJ. Well, they want to put Steve Bannon in jail. Brett Baer, he was asking Liz Cheney. That's what's incredible about this story, too. Liz Cheney and Kinzinger are on the way out, and Kinzinger, he's going around repeating the same line, that in 5 years, everybody's going to be embarrassed that they ever even supported Donald Trump. They're not even going to admit it to their children. In 5 years. And in about 5 days, he's going to be out of office. Well, I guess it's 105 or 6 days. And probably the same with Liz Cheney. They thought they were saving the Republican Party by trying to put Donald Trump in jail. In fact, they ruined their own careers. So Liz Cheney, she's on the Sunday show with Brett Baer. And here Brett Baer, he tries so hard. I've got to present both sides. Here's a case where he actually presented the Republican side and said, you know, those that look at this committee on the Republican side, they see it as, you know, it's not legitimate. Notice what he points out with her, clip 13.
Okay, we'll listen to what comes out of the hearing, but you know the critics of the January 6th committee say it's a show trial. You know, how do you respond to that? They list these things. They say it's produced by television professionals who clearly lean left. It airs in prime time. There's no opportunity for the target to defend or put forth a defense. There's no cross-examination of witnesses, a duty deeply ingrained, they say, in American notions of due process. They say House rules require an aiming for a ranking member to be put forward by the minority. They have a problem with the fact that you are that ranking member, even though you were selected by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So how do you respond to that criticism?
And of course, her response is, hey, that's a diversion. The fact that there's no cross-examination, that's just a distraction. Look, everything we say, everything Adam Kinzinger and I say, it's the truth. Hutchinson, she told the truth. We don't need cross-examination. When has this ever been seen as legitimate? This kind of a sham of a process. No due process. And her response to that is, that look, that's just a diversion. No cross-examination? You mean the other side can't appoint its own minority leader as part of this committee? You mean it's all appointed by Nancy Pelosi? Yeah, yeah. And yet Brett Baer says there at the top, okay, we'll listen. We'll listen to what comes out of your committee. Baer also said in one of the interviews yesterday that the 100 and whatever minutes it was, 3 hours, I guess it was, that Donald Trump didn't do anything on January 6th. Oh, it's horrific. And here he contacted the DOJ to send in the National Guard so that it would be safe, and they didn't do it. And Nancy Pelosi said no, and the mayor of D.C. said, no way we're going to do those kinds of things. The fix was in. They wanted violence. They're going on and on and on about Donald Trump supposedly inciting a riot, when in fact they are the ones. They're guilty of incitement. And so this whole show trial is meant to cover up the fact that they set up those protesters with people like Ray Epps. That's the truth. And the DOJ being in on it, this is an attack from within. That's what Donald Trump was speaking about over the weekend. He's been emphasizing this more and more. An inside job. That's what it is. NBC on Friday. A jury found former Donald Trump advisor Steve Bannon guilty on 2 counts of contempt of Congress for blowing off the January 6th Select Committee, as he should have. He's like, you're not a serious body. This is not a serious committee. This is unjust. This is unconstitutional. This is illegitimate. This is Nancy Pelosi's show trial. So he blew it off, and here comes Joe Obama's DOJ. Yeah, Barack Obama went right after Steve Bannon. They don't like Steve Bannon very much. Oh, no. Now think back to someone held in contempt of Congress. Think of the many examples on the left. Eric Holder, for one. Lois Lerner. Think about all the people on the left, the radical left, that have lied under oath to Congress. And nothing. This is from Politico in 2012. The House has voted to hold Attorney General Eric Holder in contempt of Congress over his failure to turn over documents related to the Fast and Furious scandal. The first time Congress has taken such a dramatic move against a sitting cabinet official. It says the vote was 255 to 67. With 17 Democrats voting in support of a criminal contempt resolution. 17 Democrats were on board with it. Yeah, he should be held in contempt. He won't turn over documents. And so what happened? And this was a legitimate congressional committee, by the way, where the minority had a voice. The majority and the minority had a voice. Quite unlike the January 6th sham committee, where it's just along party lines, or if the Democrats claim they've got Republican support, it's just these two, Kinzinger and Cheney. They hate Donald Trump. They want to see Donald Trump in jail. They'd have no problem with that. Doesn't matter what he said there at the Ellipsis. It doesn't matter that he called for the National Guard. Liz Cheney just lied yesterday. When Brett Baer said, hey, what about this report? He had the DOJ. He suggested they bring in the National Guard. And she said, well, that's not true. We've got testimony that contradicts that. Well, what about all these other witnesses? Well, we're not going to bring them in front of the committee. I mean, this is completely one-sided. She might as well just say that. It's completely one-sided. We don't want both sides. We don't want cross-examination. So here's the wingman of Obama himself, Eric Holder, held in contempt. And this is over an actual scandal. Fast and Furious, the gun running, illegal gun running project that Obama was running through his wingman, and no one held to account. No one held responsible for that. They get away with it. No wonder they get away with it. No wonder James Clapper and John Brennan can lie to Congress. They're never, ever penalized. They're never, ever prosecuted. The FBI doesn't show up in a pre-dawn raid to take out Eric Holder or John Brennan. That's reserved for people like Steve Bannon. Got to get him in jail. He's just a commentator. He worked for Trump years ago, was nowhere near the White House on January 6th, and now he could go to jail for as much as 2 years, I believe, because he annoyed Liz Cheney. This was Steve Bannon's response. He was interviewed on Friday on Tucker Carlson's show. He said this, clip four.
You can't kind of help but notice that you were convicted of a crime, which is not actually a crime most of the time in Washington or ever, within the same 24-hour period as a guy who tried to murder a gubernatorial candidate in New York was released with no bail. What are we to make of these two events occurring the same day?
Well, as you can tell, the Democrats are completely lawless, and look how they've run this committee. There's no ranking member. There's no minority counsel. It's not like the traditional hearings that have galvanized the nation in the past. And Tucker, I think it's one of the reasons that it hasn't really had that big an impact.
Look at how they're running the committee. It shows just how lawless they are. Lawlessness. Here again, language that you see all through America Under Attack. Sick, sick people. Obsessed with destroying the political opposition. Let me just play a fair bit of Tucker's monologue. I think it's about 90 seconds as he fully exposes the double standard of justice that we now see almost routinely in American society, coming out from the D.C. swamp. This is clip one.
The hallmark of any authoritarian regime is politicized justice. Under that system, your opponents go to jail, your supporters can do whatever they want. And this reveals that the state exists not to serve the people who live in it, but to preserve itself and to crush all dissent. I hate to think we've reached a point anywhere near that here in the United States, because there's nothing worse than that, or scarier or harder to fix. But in fact, we have reached that point. That's where we are. Yesterday, for example, a man leaped on stage at a campaign event and tried to stab Lee Zeldin. Zeldin's a sitting member of Congress. He's challenging the unelected incumbent Kathy Hochul in the governor's race in New York. So ordinarily, attempting to assassinate a federal office holder would be considered a big deal. But Lee Zeldin is a Republican, so it's not a big deal anymore. The man who tried to murder Lee Zeldin was released immediately with no bail. Less than 24 hours later, by contrast, former Trump advisor Steve Bannon was convicted of crimes that until recently were not crimes at all, for which he now faces a prison term of 2 years. Bannon has been declared guilty of something called contempt of Congress. That may strike you as an unintentionally hilarious term, since most of the time Congress invites our contempt. But the point is, this is a crime that Democrats are not convicted of, ever. Attorney General Eric Holder and IRS executive Lois Lerner were once found to be in contempt of Congress, both of them, and for real crimes. In Holder's case, it was gun running in Mexico. In Lerner's case, it was targeting conservatives for audits. But neither one went to trial. Holder claimed executive privilege, which was enough, even after a judge ruled that executive privilege did not apply in Eric Holder's case. But it didn't matter. He walked. Lois Lerner cited the Fifth Amendment. It was as simple as that. Both of them today, Lerner and Holder, are free and richer than ever. But these standards do not apply to Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was subpoenaed by the January 6th committee, despite the fact he had literally nothing to do with January 6th. And we know that because he left the White House 3 years before it happened. But it didn't matter. He annoyed the wrong people, so he's going to jail.
He left the White House 3 years before January 6th, before the so-called insurrection. And the committee has to get his testimony for what reason exactly? So he disregards their subpoena and now faces up to 2 years in jail. Of course, his lawyers are appealing the decision from last week. And they stand on pretty solid ground. But if you end up in a courtroom anywhere near the swamp, this is generally what happens. There's quite a lot of scriptures. I don't know if I'll have time to get to them, that talk about just the grave injustice that we see in the nations of Israel today. It's not a crime if you're a Democrat. It's only if you oppose this communist infiltration. Then they'll throw, they're playing hardball, like we've been saying all along. These Republicans that want to cozy up to this side or compromise with this side, these communist infiltrators, they ought to develop a backbone and show some fight. They ought to fight back. That's why they want Bannon in jail. That's why they want Trump in jail, because they fight back. Listen to Jonathan Carl at ABC gleefully report on the conviction of Steve Bannon last week. Clip three.
This is an incredibly important case beyond the specifics of Steve Bannon's, the charges against Steve Bannon or the January 6th committee. This is really about the power of Congress to conduct investigations and to issue subpoenas. The Trump administration had frequently flouted subpoenas. Congress has no power itself to enforce its subpoenas. So in this case, they went to the Justice Department, went through the justice system. The Justice Department took on the case, prosecutor, and has reached two guilty verdicts, reestablishing that Congress's subpoenas should come with the force of law. And if you defy them, you can be prosecuted. You can go to jail.
There's the ABC commentator talking, in this case, about the power of Congress. Congress needs more power, so they need to work with Obama's DOJ, and that's what they did to go after Bannon. Now, when Congress gets in the way, if Republicans have a majority, the democracy is over. Or, hey, Obama will use his pen and his phone to go around Congress. In that case, Congress needs to be bypassed. But here, I mean, they need more power, so that they can go after Steve Bannon. They need Barack Obama's DOJ. And to be sure, Pelosi's kangaroo court had it. Pelosi's kangaroo court working together with Joe Obama's DOJ. Jeffrey Clark, he's another victim of these communist infiltrators. Another victim of a pre-dawn raid. Well, he's dangerous. He used to work for Donald Trump's DOJ. So we got to put him in prison as well. This is from the New York Times. A disciplinary board is moving to penalize Jeffrey Clark, the former Justice Department official who worked to undo the results of the 2020 election. He worked to undo it. In other words, he thought it was stolen. And for that thought crime, he needs to be put in prison too. Yeah, put him in prison. Only Democrats can contest elections. Don't you understand this? It says here, a complaint filed this week by the D.C. Bar's Office of Disciplinary Counsel, which governs lawyers in Washington, accused Mr. Clark of interfering in the administration of justice in his bid to keep President Donald J. Trump in power. He interfered. He had the audacity to question the results of the 2020 election. You can't do that. It was perfect. You don't question that. It's just like you don't question the vaccine. These people are influenced by a higher power, as it says in Ephesians 6. You look at some of the prosecutions following the violence in Portland, places like that, 2019, 2020. There was one case in 2019 where Antifa and this right-wing group got into a scuffle, and prosecutors have only gone after the right-wing group. Nobody in Antifa is prosecuted. Nobody in Antifa goes to jail. One of the right-wingers, Mackenzie Lewis, a Portland jury just found him guilty of felony rioting. He's a right-winger guilty of felony rioting. So he goes to jail. And think about all the riots, the felony rioting that went on in 2020. And these people, working with Joe Obama's DOJ, they're putting people in prison for parading. Parading on January 6th. One set of rules for them, which is no rules. They can do whatever, like Tucker said. And then very, very strict rules for the opposition. You may have seen reports recently of this New York shop owner that defended himself against an attack. The guy came behind the cash register and assaulted him. And the shop owner grabbed a knife and stabbed him in the neck. And the criminal died. And we know the facts of this particular case because they're all on video. You can see what happened with your own eyes. That said, a New York prosecutor, he sent this shop owner to Rikers Island. I mean, this is like a hardened prison system to await trial because he wanted to go after him for murder charges. So this shop owner is off to prison for a couple weeks. Finally, the prosecutor came to his senses, realizing we don't have the evidence to convict him of murder. He obviously did what he did in self-defense. But he goes off to prison. And then, like Tucker brings out in his monologue from Friday, an attacker can jump onto a platform and try to stab Lee Zeldin. Now, he's a Republican. He can try to stab him in the neck. He didn't carry it out, thankfully. They apprehended him. They forced him down onto the ground, and then he was just given a slap on the wrist. Let out on bail that same night. And Zeldin, by the way, predicted that. He said in New York's current state, in New York's system of justice, or some would say injustice, they'll let him out of jail right away. And sure enough, they did. This is the kind of thing that's happening all the time. Listen to CNN's take on this attacker that tried to assassinate a Republican candidate for governor. Clip 2.
Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin was giving a speech in the city of Fairport when a man climbed onto the stage and grabbed him. His campaign says a suspect tried to stab Zeldin.
CNN's Bryn Gingras joins us now live from New York with the latest. Bryn, the suspect immediately taken into custody, has already been released, though. What more do we know?
Yeah, released on his own recognizance, Jim.
Yeah, released on his own recognizance. Yeah, a little slap on the wrist. There's another case in California, two men arrested for trafficking fentanyl. They had enough fentanyl to, I think, kill millions of people. These two drug runners arrested and then released on cashless bail less than 24 hours after their arrest. They were given a notice to appear in court. They were supposed to appear last Thursday. And can you believe it? They didn't show up. They didn't show up. These drug runners with enough fentanyl to kill tens of thousands of people. And this is a real epidemic here in the United States. Fentanyl overdoses every single day. It's happening all the time. Isaiah 59 and verse 9, it says, "Therefore is judgment far from us, neither does justice overtake us." We're certainly not being overtaken by justice. We're being overtaken by injustice, grave injustices, corruption, lawlessness. It says, "We wait for light, but behold, obscurity, for brightness, but we walk in darkness." These are dark times for the United States of America. That's what President Trump was saying over the weekend. We've become a beggar nation. We're being ruled by sick people. He said, "Everything this corrupt establishment is doing to me is all about preserving their power and control over the American people." Who can deny this? If you have eyes to see, if you study America Under Attack, that book will be here in another week or two, the print version. You can get to the online version at our website, thetrumpet.com. Write down this 800 number, this toll-free number, if you're in the U.S. and Canada, to make sure you order your free copy of the print version. As I say, it'll get here in another 8 to 10 days, I believe. The number is 1-866-930-3024. Everything, going back to Donald Trump's statement, everything this corrupt establishment is doing to me is all about preserving their power and their control. I mean, you can find similar statements to that in America Under Attack. Just the News, John Solomon's outfit, they got their hands on a memo from the Pentagon, the Pentagon Inspector General, detailing the assistance the Department of Defense offered Congress in the lead up to January 6. And this memo details a meeting between President Trump, okay, he was still in president, he was the outgoing president, urging Congress to contest the election, which Josh Hawley and, you know, the jogger, the slow jogger, Hawley was prepared to do it. Cruz, quite a few of them. I think there was as many as 100 prepared to contest the election results. But the communists did not want that. They did not want the process to come under scrutiny. So they set up the Trump supporters on January 6. And here they are, 18 months after the fact, trying to say, never mind what Trump said in the speech, and never mind what he did before January 6, to try to make sure it was a safe environment on that day of protesting. They're trying to say that Donald Trump led the mob. That's what Liz Cheney said yesterday. He led the mob to try to overthrow the Capitol. This is worse than anything that's happened since the Civil War, says Kinzinger. Please. Here's Donald Trump with his acting Defense Secretary, Chris Miller. And then Mark Milley, he's in there too. You know, the woke general. He knows. This is from Just the News. It says, a Capitol Police timeline obtained by Just the News shows the Trump Pentagon first offered the National Guard troops to the Capitol Police on January 2nd, 2021, 4 full days before the event. The police turned down the offer, but then began to have second thoughts. The Capitol Police then asked their political minders, the House Sergeant at Arms, chief among them, for permission to accept the troops on January 4th, but were turned down on the ground that such a show of force would create bad optics, the records show. We can't have our city filled with troops from the National Guard, which is, of course, exactly what Pelosi did after January 6th, because once they framed Trump and his supporters, then they filled the streets with the National Guard, barbed wire, everything else, because it's so dangerous. It's the Trump people that are the danger. And Donald Trump said, send the National Guard in before the protest. He was concerned about Antifa and other elements stirring up violence, rioting, mob-like behavior. And that's exactly what they did. It says here, but the most compelling evidence that Trump wanted to thwart rather than incite violence is contained in a lengthy memo. Listen to this. It's from the DOJ. An inspector general turned it over. A lengthy memo written by the Pentagon Inspector General that chronicled the assistance the Defense Department offered Congress, both ahead of and during the riot. It says, in it, the IG recounts a fateful meeting on January 3rd in the White House when then-acting Defense Secretary Chris Miller and General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, met with Trump on national security matters. The complete passage, hardly mentioned by Democrats at the hearings or the news media covering them, is worth absorbing in its entirety. So this is something the January 6th committee is totally disinterested in. They could care less about what Donald Trump actually said to the DOJ or the Department of Defense. It says here, this is quoting the memo. Listen to this. Mr. Miller and General Milley met with President at the White House at 5:30 p.m., the IG reported. The primary topic they discussed was unrelated to the scheduled rally. General Milley told us that at the end of the meeting, the President told Mr. Miller that there would be a large number of protesters on January 6th, and Mr. Miller should ensure sufficient National Guard or soldiers would be there to make sure it was a safe event. General Milley told us that Mr. Miller responded, we've got a plan and we've got it covered. I mean, it's a similar spirit as to what happened in January of 2017 when Comey and company set up the president. Listen, we got to keep the investigation going. Be assured, it's not an investigation into you. I mean, we're looking into the Russians here. They lied. They wanted to keep Crossfire Hurricane going, and they wanted to take out Trump. So here's Trump innocently enough, talking to Milley and Miller, saying, look, give them the national, give them whatever they need to keep it peaceful. And then they say to Donald Trump, they say, Mr. President, we've got everything under control. Believe me, we've got it all under control. These people were just disregarding the orders, the wishes of the President of the United States. And it was happening over and over again. They're guilty of incitement. They're guilty of treason. They had a plan. And what was their plan? Their plan was to stir up the protesters. They wanted a mob. They wanted them to go into the Capitol. That's why they work with the Capitol Police to open the doors. And if that wasn't the case, well, then show us the 14,000 hours of footage that you're keeping carefully concealed. All the footage kept away, lock and key, except for the 2 seconds of Josh Hawley. We need to see this. Yeah, we need to see this, him running across the hallway. Now, that's important. That's really a crucial detail. That's horrifying. You know, when they showed that, by the way, Josh Hawley, when they showed him crossing the hallway for about 2 seconds, less than 2 seconds, the people that were watching that, and there weren't that many, but the ones in the room when the committee showed that last week, they started laughing. Now, I don't know if they're laughing at Hawley or if they were laughing at the committee putting this forward as evidence. In either case, they're just laughing because it's a joke. It's a joke. The whole committee is a joke. And the United States, that's the sad part here, is the United States is a laughingstock. And we're a beggar nation, as Donald Trump said in Tampa. Here we're literally on our knees before other nations, begging for oil, begging for resources, begging for favor. Even as we're being attacked from within. Listen to Liz Cheney when asked yesterday about Donald Trump's request for the National Guard. And listen to the start of this clip where he says there's many witnesses that are aware of this request. Clip 12.
But this was a mob Donald Trump sent to the Capitol, and I think that's important to keep our eye on.
There are several witnesses who say they met with President Trump on January 4th, and he offered some 20,000 National Guardsmen to protect the Capitol building on January 6th, but the offer was rejected. Is that true? Do you know that to be true?
Well, his own acting Secretary of Defense says that's not true. Chris Miller has testified publicly that Donald Trump never issued any order to deploy the Guard to protect the Capitol.
You see how they carefully select every word. The language is important. Well, actually, Brett, we've got some testimony saying that there never actually was an order. Oh, okay. Well, what about the memo? What about the meeting that Trump had with Miller and Milley? How about that? That reveals his heart, does it not? If Donald Trump wanted to incite the mob, then he would have told Milley and Miller, look, don't put any National Guard anywhere near the D.C. complex. And then at the speech on January 6th, he would have said something like Ray Epps said, let's go into the Capitol. That's where our problems are. We're going to tear it down. He didn't say anything like that. He said, go to the Capitol and protest peacefully and support the congressmen and women that are going to contest the results of this stolen election. That's the truth. It would be so easy to get to the truth of the matter if this was a fair committee seeking justice. But they're not seeking justice. They want revenge on Donald Trump because Donald Trump makes them look foolish. Donald Trump calls them out. Donald Trump says they're sick and deranged. And everything that they're doing is actually meant to cover up their own sins, their own crimes, and to help them maintain their grip on power. That's the truth. That's the truth of the matter. Isaiah 10 and verse 1, it says, woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievousness, which they have prescribed. It says to turn aside the needy from judgment. Woe unto them. The NIV says, woe to those who make unjust laws, to those who issue oppressive decrees to deprive the poor of their rights. Woe unto us if we make unjust laws, if we oppress the poor, the disadvantaged, the needy. Habakkuk 1, verses 3 and 4, listen to this. It says, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? It says, for spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Verse 4 of Habakkuk 1 says, therefore the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. It says, for the wicked does compass about the righteous. Are we being surrounded by wickedness in the land of Israel? You know we are. Transgressions have come to the full, as it says in Daniel 8. And that's the cause of this sickness that Isaiah said runs from the top of our heads right down to our little baby toe, from head to toe. Sickness has set in, and I mean, it's like cancer, and it just spreads. It spreads unless you confront it. My father makes this point in the Form of Prophets, by the way. I said this yesterday in a forum. But you to get sin out, I mean, you've got to confront it and then cut it out. I mean, that's a painful process. But if you don't get rid of it, if you don't cut it out, it's just going to keep growing and growing and growing. And that's what we're seeing. As we've said so many times on this show, only God could save us from this kind of sickness. And so I would urge you, like America Under Attack does, I would urge you to go through 2 Kings 14. And, well, there's an entire chapter toward the end of the book about the devil's influence, the fact that Satan has been cast down to this earth and that his fingerprints are all over this lawlessness that we see on display every day. When we come back, I wanted to get to some of this COVID material a little bit sooner, but I was a bit long-winded with this first segment. So when we come back, we'll try to condense as much as we can into the final 10 minutes or so of today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can send feedback to td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
The president is generally a healthy person. He has been vaccinated and boosted twice, and he is now on a very good drug that has a very good track record of preventing people from progressing to just symptomatic disease into severe disease requiring hospitalization. All of those factors make us feel reasonably confident that he will do quite well. I had a similar experience myself, as you might recall, where I was vaccinated, doubly boosted, went on Paxlovid, and literally within a very short period of time, my symptoms resolved.
What did you think about Novak Djokovic saying that he wasn't vaccinated because it's essentially about his freedom of choice and the choice of what he puts in his body? I wonder if you think that when someone is in the public eye, is there a wider responsibility than just that of your own body?
Well, being vaccinated helps the community you're in. They're not perfect at blocking infection, but they do reduce infection. And so it's unfortunate if somebody's health concerns are so extreme that they feel they can't participate in that community protection.
There's the distinguished health expert Bill Gates commenting on Novak Djokovic, who, by the way, still can't come into the United States. I guess the U.S. Open is in August, and the government has said, no, can't do it. So on the one hand, COVID is so mild. It's not, I mean, it's not dangerous enough for Joe Biden to be airlifted out of the White House and off to Walter Reed. He's still in the White House. I'm not sure how many people work in the White House every day. It's huge. I mean, the staff for Joe Biden and the vice president. So it's so mild that Joe Biden can get on Paxlovid and continue working in the White House. And yet at the same time, it's so dangerous that Novak Djokovic, who doesn't even have it, cannot come into the United States of America. Biden can work in the White House, the hub of government in the U.S. He's got COVID. He's COVID positive. Novak can't even come into the country unless he were to go to Mexico and then come up with the illegals. Then he is, you know, he could get a bus ride to New York, no problem. All expenses paid, in fact. But we'll leave that aside. This is the upside-down world that we're living in. These experts who say that they know everything, they just, even when it's a spectacular fail, explodes in their faces, they just come right back and say, hey, we know. listen, he's gotten the vaccine. He's been double-boosted. Now he's on Paxlovid. And you might recall that I was on Paxlovid once, says Fauci. And I bounced right back from it. I played the clip for you on Friday. That's a lie right there. Listen to what he said earlier this year. Again, we'll repeat what we had on Friday's show, clip 11.
And after I finished the 5 days of Paxlovid, I reverted to negative on an antigen test for 3 days in a row. And then on the fourth day, just to be absolutely certain, I tested myself again. I reverted back to positive by the antigen test. So it was sort of what people are referring to as a Paxlovid rebound. And then over the next day or so, I started to feel really poorly, much worse than in the first go around. So I went back on Paxlovid.
He got on Paxlovid, had the Paxlovid rebound, felt worse after that than he did at the beginning with just the regular old COVID. He had the garden variety COVID, and then Paxlovid made it worse. And what did he say yesterday? Just yesterday, where I was vaccinated, doubly boosted, went on Paxlovid, and literally within a very short period of time, my symptoms resolved. So yesterday he said he got on Paxlovid, everything went away, no problem. Very, very short period of time. Just a very short period. And in I think it was January, the earlier clip, he went into detail day by day, 3 days on Paxlovid, fourth day tested positive again. Then he had the Paxlovid rebound and he felt even worse. So which is it? Well, that's just the expert changing his story from one day to the next. You're not supposed to go back and check up on him. Look, if Bill Gates sits down and says that it's Novak who's the extremist, just believe it. I mean, he's made billions of dollars. Fauci's going to be making hundreds of thousands even after he retires. His retirement package is over $400,000 per year. So the experts, I mean, they make top dollar. Who knows how much he's going to make from books? I mean, when he has the tell-all, like Burks, when he tells everything about Donald Trump, everything that Trump did wrong, then there's another cool million. I'm sure there's a publisher that's going to give him a big book deal for that. Surprised he hasn't retired already. He just goes on TV routinely and contradicts himself. And the U.S. government, because it's so dangerous, says to Novak, the best tennis player in the world and probably one of the healthiest human beings on the planet, you can't come into New York because COVID is so dangerous and you're not vaccinated. And you might, some of you might have seen this hilarious clip going around social media with all of these leaders. You get the vaccine, you're going to be protected. Biden said it. Trudeau said it. The extremists down in one of those Australian provinces or states said it. The clips right after they say, you'll be safe, you won't get the COVID. Then it's them announcing, I came down with COVID. Fauci's one of them. You have a right to be safe from COVID, so get the vaccine. Today I need to announce that I just came down with the COVID. But don't worry. Don't worry. It could be so much worse because I've been double vaccinated and double boosted. There was this study coming out of basically the U.S. equivalent to the CDC's counting of vaccine adverse effects. I forget the name of that subsection of the CDC website. In any event, it comes out from Germany where they tested these people, the 5,000 people that had gotten the vaccine. This is from the Daily. Well, I can probably paraphrase some of that. Let me just get to the money quote. It says here, the report states of the 520,000 participants from Germany who had received the first dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, 1,838, that's 0.3%, 1,838 reported experiencing at least one serious adverse reaction. Now, one of the things about this reporting is it's similar to the CDC, where the ones that report the adverse reactions, they're just a tiny minority of the overall number because most people don't report it. So it's probably 10 times worse than what they're actually reporting. Even still, 0.3% serious adverse reactions. It says here a total of 1,191 and 39 participants receiving BioNTech, Pfizer, and Moderna, respectively, reported experiencing a serious adverse reaction, while 608 receiving AstraZeneca reported a serious reaction. And basically, the gist of it here, 0.3% is huge. I mean, when you compare it to the ones that had, you know, near-death experiences or maybe died because of COVID. Remember, it was like 4% when the WHO came out initially and scared everybody into the basement, including the presidential candidate. And then we come to find out that, well, really the mortality rate here, it's similar to a bad flu. That's what it amounts to. Well, now you've got figures where it's about the same, even worse, the adverse reactions to this drug. This is coming out from Germany. And yet still, you listen to Bill Gates, you listen to Tony Fauci, they're certainly not going to go there. Just keep Novak out of America. That's all you need to know. Here's the White House COVID response coordinator, Dr. Birx, the one that came out with the big tell-all book, basically admitting that she didn't carry out the president's wishes. Listen to what she had to say recently, clip 6.
I knew these vaccines were not going to protect against infection, and I think we overplayed the vaccines, and it made people then worry that it's not going to protect against severe disease and hospitalization. It will, but let's be very clear. 50% of the people who died from the Omicron surge were older, vaccinated. So that's why I'm saying, even if you're vaccinated and boosted, if you're unvaccinated right now, the key is testing and Paxlovid.
You see how they keep moving the goalposts? Yeah, we probably look. We probably overplayed the vaccines. And yeah, it's true. About 50%. What did she say? 50% of the people who died from the Omicron surge were older, vaccinated people. So what do you need to... Well, get vaccinated. That's still important. Okay, Novak? get vaccinated. But look, now we're on to Paxlovid, you know, the drug that made Fauci even sicker. That's right. Now it's Paxlovid and testing. They got to bring testing back as well. Around and around they go. America under attack. I have to keep referring to it because it really does explain how all of this could be. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Don't forget the email feedback, td@thetrumpet.com. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.